The Gemara had asked a contradiction. In one place, Rav Shimon says that an oinim may bring a carbon pesach. Another place, he includes carbon pesach in the list of korbanos which may not be brought by an oinim. The Gemara has to this point given two answers. The Gemara continues. Rav Murray said, when Rav Shimon says the oinim may not bring a pesach, he's talking about a case where the oinim's relative died on the 14th of Nisan and was buried that very day. The following night, he still has the status of an oinim, even the eraisa, and would not be allowed to eat that night. When Rav Shimon says that he may bring the pesach, he's referring to a case where the relative died on the 13th of Nisan and was buried on the 14th of Nisan. On that night, following the 14th, he's only an oinim of the Rabbanon, therefore he may eat the carbon pesach that night. Rav Ashi, yes, Rav Mari, in the Braisa itself, Rav Shimon said to Rav Yehuda, I can show you that aninus at night is only the Rabbanon, because we know that an oinim may go to the mikveh and eat his carbon pesach that night. Now, according to Rav Mari, who said that Rav Shimon is referring to the night after the burial, not the night after the death, Rav Yehuda should have responded, I was discussing aninus the Raisa, and you bring me a proof from a case of aninus the Rabbanon? Mar said that Echanami, this remains a kasha. Talking about Vaita, Abaye said, when Rav Shimon says that the oinim may not bring the pesach, he's talking about a case where the oinim's relative died on the 14th of Nisan before Chatzos, which is when the pesach obligation sets in at Chatzos, but this happened before. Since at the time of Chatzos, he was already oinim, he doesn't bring his Pesach. When Rav Shimon says he does bring his Pesach, he was referring to a case where the relative died after Chatzos. Since at Chatzos he was not yet an oinim, he becomes obligated to bring the Pesach, and the aninus therefore can't push away that obligation. How does the Bayi know to differentiate between where the relative dies before Chatzos or after Chatzos? And for the more, because there are two brises that seem to contradict each other. One brise says the pasuk of Lo Yitama teaches that there's an obligation for a kohen to become tamei to a close relative. It's not simply an allowance, an optional, it's an obligation. And it once happened that the wife of Yosef HaKohen died in Pesach, and he didn't want to make himself Tomei, so the other Kahanim made him Tomei. There's another Brisa that says that if a person is on his way to bring his carbon Pesach or to make a bris milah for his son, and he hears that his relative died, the pasuk of Lo Yitama teaches that he should not become tamei to them. However, the pasuk of Ula Achoisai teaches that even such a person would still be required to make himself tamei for the sake of bearing a mace mitzvah. Now, the first brisa implies that an oinin would not bring a pesach, and the second brisa suggests that he would. It must be that the first brisa is discussing where it became an oinin before chatzos, and the second brisa is discussing where it became an oinin after chatzos. From here, we see the differentiation that Abaye uses in his answer. Maybe both brisa are discussing where the relative died after chatzos. Second brisa is following the view of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that there's no obligation to become a tamei to a relative, and the first brisa is following the view of Rabbi Akiva, who says there is such an obligation. Mar said, no, we can't say this because the beginning of the second brisa explicitly says that this is the view of Rabbi Akiva. So, the Rav said both statements of Rav Shimon were regarding the case where the relative died after Chatzos. When Rav Shimon says that the oinim does not bring the Pesach, he's referring to where the relative died before the carbon was shechted and the Zerika was done. And when Rav Shimon says that the oinim does bring the carbon, it's referring to where the relative died after the carbon was shechted and the Zerika was done. Rav Adar Masna asked Rav, once it was already shechted and the Zerika was done and the relative then died, we should then allow the oinon, why would we then allow the oinon to eat the carbon? He was yoytzer mitzvah, which carries karis at least, meaning to bring the carbon pesach. Eating is a separate mitzvah, which should not be allowed for an oinon. And for the Gemara, Ravina said, as can be seen from the statement of Rav Ravuna, the eating of the carbon pesach is essential for the fulfillment of the obligation of carbon pesach. Rav told Rav Adar Masna, listen to what your Rebbe is telling you. So, this statement of Rav Ravuna was made to answer a contradiction within a braisa. The braisa first says, if someone hears of a relative's death within 30 days of the actual death, it's like the day of the burial with regard to Allah of Shiva and Shloishim, but with regard to eating Karim Pesach, the day of hearing is treated like the day of gathering the bones of a relative to be reinterred, and the Pesach may be eaten. This suggests that the night after the burial, the Pesach could not be eaten. The Braisa then says, in both this case and that case, meaning the case of the day of the burial and the day of gathering the bones, the person, meaning the Ovel, may go to the mikveh and eat the Karim, eat Karbonis that night. This contradicts the first part of the Braisa. So Rav Chisa said that the two parts of the Braisa are the views of two different Tanoim who argue. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said, the second part of the Braisa is talking about a person who heard about his relative's death before Shkia, or where his relative's bones were gathered before Shkia, or where the relative died and was buried before Shkia. In these cases, Shkia brings the new day and there's no longer Anidas. In the earlier part of the Raisa, the cases where the things happened after Shkia, and that night is therefore part of the day of Anidas, and that's why it's also to eat the carbon Pesach when the burial happens after Shkia. Now we can ask that when he hears of the death after Shkia, we should not allow him to eat the Pesach since he was Yoytze with his bring of the carbon. Rather, we see that he holds that the eating of the Pesach is essential to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Rav Ashi said that when the Braisa says in both this case and that case, it means whether it was the day of hearing of the relative's passing or the day of the gathering of his bones, the Avil may go to the mikveh and eat Karbonis that evening. The Gemara says that the answer of Rav Ashi is incorrect, because if it referred to those two cases, since the Braisa just mentioned these two cases, it should have said this and this, not both this and this. Rav Chisda answered that by saying that there's machlo, he said that there's machlo among tanoim. Where do we find such a machlo among tanoim? And for the Gemara, Brisa says, until when is one anoinen and therefore also to eat karbonis? It's the entire day. Rebbe says, as long as the mace has not been buried. Now, this can't refer to the actual day of death because everyone holds that the night after the day of death is aninus at least rabbonon, and therefore the Tanakhama would not say that he can eat a karbon that night. Also, this would mean that Rebbe says that after the burial, he would be mutter to eat a karbon even during that same day. This can't be because all hold that aninus continues for the entire day. Rav Sheshi has answered that the Brisa is referring to the day of burial, and Machlokes is the Tanakhama hold that aninus lasts for that entire day, whereas Rebbe holds that it ends at the time for burial. Rabbi Yosef doesn't like this answer because of a problem from a different Brisa, and therefore says that the Machlokes in the Brisa is regarding the day of burial, and the Tanakhama holds that aninus lasts throughout the day of burial and the following night, whereas Rebbe says that it ends at nightfall after the burial. Rabbi Yemiya doesn't like Rabbi Yosef's answer because he says that another Brisa shows that Rebbe is the one who is more machmir, and according to this, he's more makel. Rather, Rabbi Yemiya says the Machlokes is that the Tanakhama holds that aninus continues for the day of the burial, but only until nightfall, and Rebbe says that even on the day of the burial, the aninus continues throughout the following night. When Rav Chisda said that there's a machlokes among Tanoim whether aninus continues through the night after the burial, he was referring to this machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rebbe, as explained according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rava asked, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation, if Rebbe says that the night following the day of burial has aninus d'rabbanon, it must be that he holds that the night following the day of death has aninus d'raisa. However, Rebbe explicitly says in a braisa that the aninus of the night following the day of death is only d'rabbanon. And for the Gemara, it's only d'rabbanon. And the d'raisa aninus does not go into the following night. Still, the d'rabbanon aninus of the day of burial does go into the night because the d'rabbanon were more machmir with dir gzeira, more than the Torah was machmir with its halacha, the Araisa.